Today's episode of the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. You know, Pella, they're day one, man. They're day one homies for the Nick Bob Podcast. They've been with me from day one. And, you know, not only is Pella a great company, they got great people there. I went to school with my guy Vince, just a great dude. They're the kind of people you want to do business with. And if you've pushed off a project with some windows or some doors, something like that, now is the time to turn that project into a reality. Because we all know a new set of windows, a new door can do a lot of things for you. It can change the look, the vibe, the feeling of your home. It can add value to your home. Plus, it can make your home more energy efficient. Pella checks all those boxes and then some. Pella can provide window and door solutions to any home. And again, working with the people at Pella, second to none. So hit them up online. PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And the Nick Bob Podcast is powered by Runza. Runza has an app, and you need to download that app because as a father of two little kids, anything that can increase speed and efficiency when it comes to eating, I'm all for it. And the app does that. I can order food on the app, pop into the restaurant. It's ready for me. It's hot. I'm in. I'm out. I'm now like a finalist for Dad of the Year or something like that. And it's in large part due to the Runza app. And ordering is a breeze on the app. You can customize your order. You can get all your favorites just the way you want them. Plus, you can earn points for rewards in the app. You can score free food from Runza in the app. So go download the Runza app. You can get Runza, get rewards, then get more Runza. All on the app. Runza makes it all better. All right, here we are. Feels like it's been a while, Bo Robert Rude. It's about 12:30 on Halloween. I mean, do we want to talk about Halloween? Should we just talk about Halloween and not Nebraska football? You want to talk about Halloween?
Yeah, I was actually, I didn't know it was Halloween until like literally this morning, like halfway through the morning. My wife's like, you know, it's Halloween. I was like, really?
Really?
And I was like, should me and Nick wear costumes for this? I was like, no.
I didn't think of that.
I know, but I was like, I think if we win by 60, me and you are in cowboy hats.
Probably. And, right.
You know, some goofy. Something.
Well, I was thinking about that. As you get older, like into high school and college in particular, Halloween for guys becomes how stupid can I look? But yes. Then for girls, it's like how good can I look?
What are they really dressed?
Well, I was like, I'm a Starbucks barista. I'm a naughty Starbucks barista. And it's like, well, what's a not like everything's either naughty or sexy. Guys are like, I'm a doofus. I am doofus.
You I'm know a grade me, A moron today.
like why isn't that funny how like the
I think Halloween, if I recall from college, especially if you're a single guy, it's
about as good of a day.
Two best days of the year.
It is a good day.
Because
who sings the song? Lovely day. Lovely
Bill
day.
Bill Withers,
I think, was in college on Halloween and woke up and wrote that song.
He was just looking side to side. Lovely day.
But it's a great day in college. There's no question about that.
Yeah, it's a time where, you know, you get to be stupid and meet.
And
you
it's know, yeah, it's like you get to act
fun and
you get to act a certain way, dress a certain way, and blame it on the costume, right? Okay. So you know you can dress however you want and just be like, it's the costume. What do you mean? Like have some self-respect. It's like I'm a naughty Starbucks barista. Yeah, it's just like it's not really me. It's the costume. But guys want to look as stupid as possible. Girls, why can't girls do costumes that are just like they always have to be cute? You know, yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm happy about it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to like,
I can't explain it.
Have a political campaign to change this, you know, but it's no, just
let's
interesting.
Just leave it.
Let's leave him alone. Let's leave him alone. I did, though, on my Facebook memories, like 2 or 3 days ago, I should have screenshotted it. The golden rule popped up. Me, you, my wife, Kim. We were Timberlake, Sandberg, Lady Gaga. It's probably pound for pound the best Halloween costume ever had, and just
the amount of fun we had that night. That was so much fun,
right?
I was on a Husker game day.
We went out with chin strap. We went out as that, and then we went out on Friday that way, and then Nebraska played a football game, and we wanted to go out again on Saturday. So I was in the west balcony, sitting next to my dad with a full like, you know, bad Sandberg Timberlake chin strap beard from the Golden Rule. And I think my dad was like, you know, it's bad.
But it was worth it probably for another night out.
But we, That's about, I mean, I think the next year we went as Brokeback Mountain, which was unfortunate. Yeah.
Would we get canceled for that now?
Maybe. I don't know. We went as Brokeback Mountain. One year I was Elvis and I couldn't figure, I kept doing Rocky. I kept going, hey. I couldn't figure out the, thank you very much. Yeah, my lip was going the other way. It's like, that's the complete opposite of Elvis. But yeah, I haven't dressed up in a long time though.
I've been years since I think I've participated in Halloween, but
okay. So that's the Purdue recap.
And
we'll see you there.
We're done. God. What happened yesterday?
Oh. Okay. I mean, you know, it's funny yesterday. I'm sitting and I'm watching Michigan State. Great game. Two teams that look good battling it out. Right. And then you watch that game unfold and you watch Kenneth Walker go ham, right? I mean, he goes for almost 200 yards. He was unbelievable. I mean, he kind of put himself as the front runner for the Heisman Trophy yesterday.
Yeah.
And you're watching that game and you're thinking to yourself, okay, Nebraska could have beaten both teams, maybe should have beaten both teams, dominated Kenneth Walker. And then you watch Nebraska then proceed to go out and really play just an uninspired, in particular, terrible second half against Purdue. And it just, it goes to show you how amazing these 3 weeks have been, Bo. Like, could have won at Oklahoma, dominate Michigan State, errant punt costs them. They crushed Northwestern. We go to the Michigan game together. And then here we are 3 weeks later. And I think everyone was feeling like progress was being made and everybody was feeling pretty good about things, to now fast forward 3 weeks. And it feels like the seat is on fire for Scott Frost. It's crazy. It's been a crazy 3 weeks. Did you feel, I guess we'll go right to it, there was, and I mean, there's going to be some uncomfortable conversations today, but we'll talk it through.
Yeah.
That game did have a beginning of the end feel to it. Like, it had a 2007 Okie State, a 2013 Iowa, a 2017 Iowa feel to it, where it was just like, damn, is this potentially the beginning of the end of the Frost era? Did you get that feeling at all?
I mean, I think everybody's got a bad feeling in their gut. And I think the reason why is not just the continuation of the we come close but can't win phenomenon. That's
right.
That's
18 one-score losses. 18.
But Adrian regret. I mean, Adrian was not good yesterday.
Right.
And he's been good. And when he's good, we have hope. I think our team has kind of been our team. Like, we weren't terrible across the board. We were okay.
Special teams was better yesterday.
Better defense was
not good enough to win.
Good enough to win. They gave up three scores. Adrian played uninspiring.
Yeah.
For him, you know, he didn't look like he was playing like his hair was on fire. He didn't look like he was. Something looked off with him. And he had four picks. Three of them were bad. He should have had another for the pick six. I mean, it looked like they were like, yeah, let that guy throw. You know, and that's the first time I felt like that since like maybe 19, where I was kind of losing confidence in Adrian. And I hadn't lost any confidence to him up to that point. And so, man, I think more than anything, the fact that he didn't play well is the frustrating thing. Right. If it would have been everybody played good Adrian, good defense and bad special teams, we lose. I think that would have been a whole nother feeling. But the fact that it's Adrian throwing picks, I think everyone's like, what do we do now?
I ran into someone at the Creighton basketball game last night doing the Creighton exhibition game. And I won't say who it is, but they walked right up to me and just said all they needed was for Adrian to be average today.
Yeah.
And they win. They're like, so a lot of the games they've won, Adrian's been good, and some other things have been woeful, and they lost. Yesterday was, like, everything, like we said, defense special teams was good enough to win, and it was the one time all year that you kind of put that one on Adrian, unfortunately.
And that's, but everybody's taking their turn to lose us a game this year. That was Adrian's. I mean, what you just said was great, though. It's, you said he just had to be average. Well, Purdue was average to me.
Yeah.
That quarterback was not good. He was average. He made no mistakes, though.
And he made timely throws.
Timely throws, but, I mean, he didn't rip us apart. No. I mean, David Bell had, I think, 70 yards or something. Let me see. David Bell, 9 catches, 74 yards. I mean, that's not killing you, right? Nobody had their running back had 74 yards rushing. Nobody was killing us, right? And so that's a game you just got to not make the big mistake, and we should win that game, and we probably do. And we gave him 6. You know?
Yeah.
And then we can't make the play to Toray. I mean, that's a touchdown. I mean, you just execute, like, that's 14-point swing there, and that's an easy win to me if we just don't make just really bad plays.
Yeah. It's what's amazing, though, when you think about the first half, Nebraska actually got a few breaks early in the game. Purdue drops the pick 6.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
They miss a 37-yard field goal. And Nebraska's offense, this is why the second half was so bizarre. Nebraska's offense in the first half actually was moving the ball.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of those games, again, like Minnesota, where Purdue kind of chewed the clock and controlled the ball. Total plays, Purdue 86, Nebraska 58. Time of possession, Purdue had it for about 38 minutes. Nebraska held it for 21 minutes. But if you look in the first half, Nebraska should have scored on 4 of their 5 possessions.
Yeah.
So they have the touchdown with Omar Manning. Shouts out to Omar Manning. Second possession was a pick 6. Bad throw by Adrian Martinez. Third possession, they respond from the pick 6. They drive down the field. Jacquez Yant has a great couple of runs, has a good touchdown run. Then they kick a field goal. And then on what I believe is the biggest sequence of the game was the end of the first half. They have the drop touchdown to Samari Toure. But if we just stop there, like, it's just amazing when you think about, I did not feel like going into that second half, man, I'm worried about the offense going into the tank. I was just like, the Nebraska is going to be okay. But then the offense just fell apart in the second half.
It's just like, there's no rhyme or reason for why we can't sustain like these moments of being good for a whole game. I don't know. It's before, like, there's something about the thing I keep going back to is, we seems like there's a lot of games that we can't hold on to the ball in the sense of just like, we don't control the ball,
right?
Whether we score or don't score. Like, if we have the ball, I feel like we have a great chance to win. It seems like we either score or give it up really quick. So we score quick and we give it up quick. And the other team holds on to the ball and it wears down our defense.
Right.
It's sort of a recipe to lose close games, and we do that recipe a lot,
right?
And so that's where I'm going, what is it about us that does that more than other people? Like, we do it. We lose, like, we either go gangbusters or we
three and out or turn it over right away.
The first handoff, we lose 4 yards, quick incomplete, and it's third and long, and it's like, here comes a sack or an
incomplete
or a risky situation. Right. Like, we're in that situation more than anybody I think I've ever seen in a 4-year stretch.
Right.
I don't know what it is about our offense that sometimes we decide we're going to start this drive with a loss of 4. And I don't know we do it all the time.
Right. It is maddening. And because it does seem like the ball control game has been a real thing the last two contests for sure. But what did you see on I really think I'm kind of go drive by drive here for this, because I really think the sequence of the game was the end of the second quarter and the start of the third quarter. That's the game.
Yep.
Because that's Nebraska's window to win the game, like to really seize control and win this thing. Nebraska's defense does a hell of a job in Jeff Brom rolls the dice at the end of the second quarter. They get a fourth down stop right at midfield, and Nebraska comes out with about a minute 20 left and dial up a great play. And where do you come out on bad throw versus catch for Martinez to Toure there?
A little of both. Yeah. Wasn't a terrible throw. Wasn't a terrible effort, but it was you're wide open. Like,
I mean,
you got to make it. Yeah, you just got to make those plays. And every team, I think, makes that throw but us. I don't know. I can't explain it other than, we do have a bit of an issue with, like, when it comes to, like, dudes doing it, like, we don't do it.
Yeah, every time there comes to that moment, like, because that's what's always hard. It's like, listen, there is clearly some systemic coaching, whatever,
yeah,
that is a real thing. But there also is, whether it's, sorry, if that mic kind of giving you some issues there. That's, I think, right. If you just turn it like, okay. How about that?
Yeah.
But there clearly is, like, there gets to these moments where, like, it's not like Trey's just got to, Martinez has got to put it on him, and Trey's got to catch the ball. I view it more as like Trey's got to catch that ball. He didn't lay out for it. It hit his hands. Like, yeah,
you got to catch
it. To me, it's more like, yeah, as a quarterback, I'm always going to blame the quarterback, like, to a certain extent. Yeah, do you want him to just put it on his body? But it's like Trey kind of alligator armed it, and it hit his fingertips, and he didn't die. Like, whenever a ball's hitting your fingertips and you didn't dive,
if it touches your hands, the good receivers say you should catch it.
Yes,
but I also think, man, in that situation, like,
just put it on his body, bro.
It can hang up there a little bit. Just like, it just, you got to make that throw and catch,
because that's a huge, huge play. Because you have whenever you get a fourth down stop defensively, yes, it's a huge boost. Next play, you were potentially going to throw a 50-yard touchdown. And it was going to be 24-14 going into half, with Nebraska getting the ball to start the second half. Instead, it's deflating to drop a touchdown, and you go into half 17-14, and then for whatever reason, Nebraska's offense just decides to go in the tank. Did you see any, like, was there anything schematically that seemed different from Purdue defensively? Like, what?
No, it just seemed like anything intermediate was like, Adrian was just like, he just looked confused to me. Like, it just looked like every throw was like, ooh, I don't know. And then every ball came out like looking like it was going high and,
yeah,
high and wobbly. I was like, it was very, he looked off yesterday. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. And, you know, Frost has kind of hinted at certain things. Like, he's more, if you knew what he was going through, or he's a warrior, he's playing through some, yeah, things. But then he also says that Adrian was close to 100%, like, going into, yeah, that game. He said, so it's like, I don't know.
I think Adrian's, there's some things probably he's dealing with that you know, you got to commend him for going through, but, sure, at the same time, like,
at the same time, you're out there.
If you're out there, you gotta win game. Like, in the end, like, this isn't just about, like, trying. You gotta win. And, right, I don't know. We're in a moment now that it's almost unexplainable. A team with the ability that we have, that seemingly they do play hard. Our, yeah, defense plays hard. Our defense plays pretty good football most of the time. Really, they do. And nobody should lose as many games as we have with that sort of, like, talent and, like, effort to a degree that they put in. But for some reason, like, we just cannot get it done.
The Nick Bob Podcast is powered by Runza. I got to talk to you guys about something. The Eagles ran Philly Special in Super Bowl 52, right? Remember that trick play? It was incredible. It was amazing. Well, Runza has huddled up, and they got their own version of Philly Special. How about a Philly-style Runza? Oh, man. For a limited time only, you can get a Philly-style Runza. Everything you love about a Philly combined with everything you love about a Runza wrapped up into one. So if you got a hunger as big as the Sixers center Joel Embiid, you need the Philly style Runza. You got green peppers, grilled onions, steak seasoning, Swiss cheese, and of course, juicy, delicious, succulent steak, all wrapped into a Runza. Oh my goodness. The combination of steak and Runza. I mean, that's kind of like the combination of Adrian Martinez and Samari Toure. It's just fantastic. So get your Philly game right. Get your Philly style Runza game right. Again, this is for a limited time only. So head out to Runza today and get a Philly style Runza. Runza makes it all better. You get to the point where you're at a loss for words. Like, I sat down to kind of map out what we're going to talk about today, and it's like, what can he even say at this point?
Because here's the issue. The issue's not we're at a loss for words because we're just so bad.
Right.
We're at a loss for words because we feel like we're close but can't win. in a way that like it doesn't make sense in my own mind. Like right. I know what I've seen against top 10 teams in the country. I'm going, beat Michigan, pretty much beat Michigan State, pretty much beat Oklahoma, but can't win against Purdue, can't win against Illinois, can't win against, like, we can't beat anybody, right. But we can play top 10 teams this close and mess it up.
Well, or you can,
I don't get it.
I don't get how you can constantly play good enough to put yourself in positions to have plays to win the game and never make them. Like consistently never, ever make them.
Well, that's where like I do these, and this is maybe not a good exercise, but I end up like I went through it in my head. It's like, okay, you give me two elite players on our team in any positions, how many games do we win? Like if you give us Karloftis or the guy from Michigan at D end for however many games we played, we're three and six, nine games in, you give us Hutchinson from Michigan, and you give us not even the running back from Michigan State, but the running back from Minnesota or the anybody that's like, you give us those two guys, I'm not so sure we're not 8-1.
Right.
With nothing different but those two guys, but we don't have those guys. But I think it's like that's where like we don't make winning plays. And maybe we just need a couple positions where they do that. And that's the only thing I can come up with is like how we're this good and can't close. Like we just don't got any closer dudes, like a pass rusher or just a dude to hand the ball to just like finish games out or just and to take pressure off Adrian. Like I was thinking those two positions, running back, DN, you give us a dude at each of them. And we're such like, I don't know how you can be that close and not win otherwise.
I don't. Okay. Just playing devil's advocate. Because yesterday's game calls into question again. What if you have a different quarterback?
Well, I mean, I think that's number one, obviously. But on our roster, no. I mean, Adrian's the guy. That's clear,
right?
But you're
instead of doing Hutchinson and a running back, you do Hutchinson and C.J. Stroud, or Hutchinson and just Sean Clifford, or Hutchinson and
Clifford's probably a better example because he's won games at Penn State and he's not like, you know, hey, give us the best player in the country type of thing. But I don't know. That's what I don't know is like, if you put Sean Clifford on our team, what's our record? Cause what's weird is he was with Penn State last year and they started 1-5,
right?
And he got pulled. Like, so I don't know. Like Adrian is such an enigma.
It's crazy.
That like, that's why everybody in Nebraska right now doesn't have an answer, because we look at Adrian and we go, we see the good, but can't understand it, how that much losing comes with it.
It's weird how I talked to Schick, and Schick made an interesting point. He goes, he was like, Adrian Martinez is so much more like Taylor Martinez than we realize.
Yeah.
Honestly, the only reason we don't associate those two as like being very similar players is because it's personality and how they are with the media.
Yeah.
Like Taylor Martinez was kind of aloof, not a great soundbite, just didn't kind of fit the profile of what you thought a quarterback should talk like, sound like, act like. But Adrian Martinez is off the charts in what he says, how he says it, how he carries himself. And then there's the other thing of like, he's a Husker legend, Scott Frost, handpicked guy. So you get this kind of blessing with it too, where they're both very talented, but incredibly poor decision makers and incredibly turnover prone. It's just, the announcers were saying it yesterday, he is an enigma because he's, and we talked about this after the Minnesota game, where it's like he checks all these boxes. He's off the charts, tons of talent, seems to have great intangibles as a leader, but he's a poor decision maker and his teams don't win.
To me, in the end, it's like the quarterback is sort of a rare position where he kind of gets put in a spot closer to the head coach, where like you are judged by wins and losses. Even other guys on the team, it's more about like,
right, you doing your Cam job, Taylor Britt, yeah, like
effort,
yeah, right,
execution. the quarter, like NFL scouts will watch the rest of our team and watch, be like, okay, effort, execution, like despite wins or losses. And it really won't change that
much. That's an interesting
quarterback. Your grade,
right?
When they grade you, wins and losses factor in more.
And I actually think that's fair. Yeah. I think there are elements of it that are flawed, because there are certainly games that Nebraska lost that you cannot, you can't say that's all on Adrian. But at the same time, that position impacts winning and losing more so than any other position on a football team. So it's bizarre. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think Dirk put it in his column that he going on right now, that the Scott Frost era could come to an end. And we'll get to that conversation here in a second. But a part of it could be, did Scott Frost pick the wrong quarterback?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say he picked the right one if, we don't win.
Right.
Right. I mean, might be unfair to Adrian. That might be very unfair to Adrian, because Adrian, we can talk about that. We've been talking about all the nuances of that and maybe rightfully defending Adrian. But like we said, as a quarterback, it might be unfair, but wins and losses are more heavily put on you than everybody else.
No question.
And so that's where it's just, dude, it's tough. It's tough because I feel for the guy. I like
Adrian. I like him a lot.
I like him. And I root for him.
And I see the talent. It's not just like he's a likable Rudy from Rudy Rudiger. You know, like he's not a little engine that could, that you're just like, go. Like, he's a super talented, likable guy that you want it to work so bad. And
I mean, think about what he did against Oklahoma and Michigan State. The second team in the country and the top 10 team at Michigan State.
Or the second half against Michigan.
In the second half. But the Michigan, here's what I'll say. He fumbled in the last 3 minutes.
And
that's on him. Our team and special teams lost him those other two games.
Right.
That's where it's like, I feel for Adrian, because like those are two like career signature wins that he would get.
Right.
That puts him in the Husker like legend category probably, and our team blows it for him. And then now he takes the blame for all of them. So this is where it's tough. I feel for him because that's not his fault, but these other games have been.
Right.
Illinois, he fumbled before
and
half.
They scooped and scored.
You know, like, this game, pick six, four picks, you know, like that's you.
Because did you hear, there was an interesting anecdote from Kelly Stauffer, who was calling the game on ESPN, that Frost, in their pregame conversations, said the only difference between Adrian's career and my career is how it ended for me.
Yeah.
And he goes, I hope that it can end well. And I'm paraphrasing here. I hope it can. So I think what Frost is kind of saying, like, listen, I'm a legend around. He didn't say this, but it's like, I'm the legend around here. And the only reason I'm a legend around here is because how the final 9-10 games of 1997 went.
Senior season.
His senior year. Me and Martinez are the same guy. Like, a part of me, what's weird is, do I think Martinez is maybe in totality a more talented quarterback than Scott Frost? Probably. But here's the thing. I watched that 97 Missouri game when his team was on the ropes and a national title was on the line. Scott Frost, shot put thrower, fucking marched them down the field and they won. And then they get an OT, and who scores the touchdown?
Yeah.
Scott Frost.
Yeah.
So it's weird. We do these things with like, where we try to separate certain things from the conversation. Like, yeah, if I'm just grading a guy on like arm talent, athleticism, speed, whatever, like, yeah, Martinez actually might grade out higher than, say, a Scott Frost. But something isn't happening.
The game, it's about the game. And in the end, the game is based on, like, you got to get the W.
Right.
And this guy is doing a lot of things right, and a lot of times he is missing when it comes to a few things that win games. The plays that he has to make that are clutch, these clutch moments, these clutch decisions. And sometimes the decision is just nothing bad happens. I mean, nothing good happens, but nothing bad happens.
Right.
And he doesn't make those plays. the play where it might just be like sometimes I say, oh, he's thinking, threw it away. Good throwaway. Like I compliment his good throwaways now, but like, you know, the pitch. The
I mean, that's the, I mean,
you know, like
yesterday's game kind of came down to three Martinez decisions or throws.
Yeah, I mean
the pick six, the Ture, again, I still think Ture should have caught it, but I mean, put it on him. Again, like if you're asking me like right now who I have to, I have like, you know, I'm the waiter. I'm like, okay, someone order a blame.
Who's you, taking it?
Who's got the blame? You? Yeah, like,
okay, I got the check. Who
gonna you split the, it?
You're gonna who do I give the check
you're
to?
You're going
to
pick up the check?
Or who do I give it? The blame to? You? I am handing the blame to Ture. If I'm the waiter, I'm handing the blame. Your waiter's, okay, we got a chicken parm.
You're a waiter. Your waiter's pretty tough. I like this.
Glass of vodka, that's for you, Vokalek. Okay. And I got the blame here.
Who's taking
it? Who's taking it? Martinez and Ture. I'm handing it to Ture, but the game comes down to his pick six, the Ture touchdown that didn't happen, and then the flip. I mean, he's getting sacked.
Yeah.
There's an enormous amount of traffic, bodies everywhere, and he flips it forward. It's like, I don't know what to see. You get to where you're like, dude, it's year four. You can't make that play. You just can't do it.
He made five of them. I mean, okay, let's take that back.
He had
Austin Allen's is on Austin Allen.
And then
he had four of those plays because he had a walk-in pick six.
Oh,
that's as bad as it gets.
Like, when you say walk-in, I think the guy could have walked. He could have caught it and, like, sped walk from 35 yards.
He could have moonwalked in. He could have been like, cue me up, Michael. He could have moonwalked that thing in.
So that's a – I mean, because that is a break and a half. But then the pick six. So we have drop pick six, pick six. You have Ture non-touchdown. Again, we handed the blame to Ture, but nevertheless, yeah, they might split that check or split that entree. Got to take a quick break from the podcast to talk to you guys about BetUS because sports betting season, it's in full force right now. NBA just kicked off. NFL, full swing. College football, full swing. You got the Major League Baseball playoffs in full swing. And BetUS is the place to be. They got loads of bonuses. They got every single bet you could imagine. Player props, future bets. They got NFL odds updated daily. College football, NBA. They even got the UFC matches, any sort of golf, online casino, anything you can imagine. BetUS has you covered. Special promo code for you guys to take advantage of. You go use my promo code NICKBAHE, N-I-C-K-B-A-H-E, all one word. You're going to receive 125% signing bonus by just using the promo code. Again, NICKBAHE, N-I-C-K-B-A-H-E. Go to BetUS.com, sign up for an account today, use the promo code. You can follow my lead, get on your phone, get it on your computer, and get your BetUS bet game right, just like I do. BetUS, you bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS. Then you have the overthrow to Ture that's interception's a bad throw. And if you said it a million times, how does Martinez miss every time? High and long. Every time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I am completely, it's amazing the parallels between Martinez and just Nebraska in the Frost era where you're just lost. You feel like they should be better than they are. They're right there to becoming a winning program or a good player, but they can't get out of their own way. Like talk about how tight at the hip quarterbacks and winning are. Well, it's amazing. Like, there's no greater example than Martinez in Nebraska in a lot of ways with how you would explain both of their situations right now.
So this is an issue though. So this is part of the new era of football, and this is where I think Frost has, I think he's learned a lot because one, it's like, you know, transfer portal, you know, and he's had guys like. the way he's managed his quarterbacks, I mean, he has no choice but to ride or die with Adrian. Like, it's his fourth year.
Yeah.
And we don't have another quarterback we can put in. Right. So he's basically been like, well, yeah, we recruit McCaffrey, who wasn't the guy, but we also didn't pursue anybody else to be there if Adrian can't get it done. I mean, Vedrill leaves.
Right.
You know, Jebbia leaves. And so we just have never had another guy to be like, hey, we're not winning. Let's try something.
Because they tried it with McCaffrey, but everybody saw what that ended up looking like.
Yeah. But then, you know, it's like, I don't know. But then again, it's like, it's his job to recruit a quarterback.
No doubt.
He can't get a quarterback. So it's been a really weird, like, we don't have any other option. So we're going to keep running this back. And we keep doing this crazy same thing again. It's like, wow, how do we keep doing it?
Well, it's just, again, to kind of keep on building off of it. You're right, because two thoughts within that. One of the questions that everybody's like, you know, I think at the press conference, they're like, yes, did you consider playing a different quarterback in the third quarter? And, you know, Frost is like, no. And I feel the same way, I think. But then you get some people talking about moving forward, like for these last three games, do you throw Smothers out there just to see what you can do? And I just...
Against Ohio State, that's a bad decision.
I mean, you're throwing them... What's the scene in Lion King where Scar just takes Mufasa's ass and just throws him in the... Like, yeah. That's pretty much... Frost would be taking Logan Smothers and then throwing his ass in the... That's what would be to Ohio State, at Wisconsin, and then Iowa. That'd be Mufasa in that thing.
Oh, but I mean, big mistake.
Be a bad deal. Stampede.
But I guess if Noah Vedrill is still on the team...
Yes.
Do you think he's would have seen the field?
Probably, right?
In the last 2 years... Vedrill, I mean, that's hard because McCaffrey was on the team last year. And he essentially beat out Vedrill. I don't know. It's just hard because they actually put a lot of stock into McCaffrey.
Right.
They thought McCaffrey had something, and then it turned out he didn't.
Well, and
then he bailed.
Yeah, they hitched their wagon. They hitched it to Adrian and to McCaffrey.
Yeah, and then like...
And that combination, they thought, between one of those two guys, our quarterback situation's going to work itself out. And what you found out is, here we are on Halloween in year four, and neither of them worked out. And one of the... There's a lot of reasons coaches may fail at any particular job. One of the surefire ways to do it is to never get... If you don't get the quarterback right... It'll never
work. But in a system where you got to have a great quarterback.
Right.
Like, and that's where, if we're running Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, Northwestern, like game management, even Purdue, I mean, they throw it a lot, but it's a
very... Minnesota is a little bit more a game manager.
It's a game manager. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like, it's either we got to go to game management if we don't got quarterbacks that can do it, or like, you know, this offense, like, it puts a lot on the quarterback to, you know, run, throw, and make the decisions. And it's just hard. It's hard if we don't feel like we've...
So do you, just to make sure we're, for the record, Frost said the quarterback thing's not a topic. Oh, like, you don't make a change there.
No, you play. Okay. I mean, it's one of those things. If Adrian like absolutely lays an egg against Ohio State, like maybe like the last two games, if you think you have a better chance to win with somebody else, maybe do it. But like, I don't see that it even being close though. I don't see it being like, oh, Harburg's really been coming on in practice. Like, I'd seen, but like, it's Adrian and it's the other guys like a mile away. And like, if you play them, playbook's limited.
Right.
You're like, you're way less dangerous. I mean, in the end, Nick, Adrian handled playing Oklahoma, Michigan State. So, like, he was the better player. The announcers that called those games were saying, this Adrian Martinez, like, they weren't talking about the other quarterbacks on Spencer Rattler versus Adrian Martinez. Adrian outplayed him.
Right.
He was supposed to be the first round draft pick. So, like, that's the problem that we're in right now, is we all saw it too. So we all go, what are we going to get rid of Adrian? Like, no, that's not the right move. And we all know it.
I know. But it's weird because the quarterback situation is a lot like the Nebraska situation at large, where you don't really, if you make a change, you don't feel good about what's behind door number two.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so right now you go, you gotta bench Martinez, but that feels like a tricky proposition.
That feels like a desperate move.
Even the same thing, like with Frost, if you're like you gotta fire him, it's like, man,
that feels desperate.
I'm not necessarily feeling great about another like somebody else right now.
No, I just think continuity, continuity helps. I think our defense proved that, like getting these guys, same coordinator a few years, like we've made steady improvements. Our offense needs to find more of that. And maybe they got to have some philosophy changes, but like the same calls, you know, most of the same code. I mean, it's just, oh my God, I just
but can't here's the
think
thing.
About changing.
I know right it, now. It, but don't get it twisted. It's a real topic now.
Oh, I mean, Nick, the papers. Today was the first day the papers slowly flipped. You could feel it like...
Well, we joke. It's weird. The Illinois game happened. People got ready to... They were kind of writing the obituary after the Illinois game. Yeah. But then, you know, all of a sudden, Scott Frost was in a coma, and he got out of the coma and had kind of been getting back on his feet, and now it feels like it's back on the obituary thing. But this one feels
the tipping point was Michigan fourth quarter.
Doesn't it feel like
we had the state of Nebraska in a frenzy
we were in that stadium.
It was unbelievable, and Adrian fumbled.
And it feels like ever since that moment and that game, things have really gone in the wrong direction. Because
we reached a point, like we reached like the critical mass where you're like, we're going to do it. The hump, we're going to get over it. And they, I mean.
I know. The only play we've talked about are pick sixes. But what's hard is, you know, I really don't think Trev wants to make a change.
No, I
really, really, really think he is only going to do that if he absolutely has to do it. And so the question becomes, what allows Trev to not have to do it? That's the question. I mean, do they got to win two of these last three? Do they got to win all three? Does it not even matter?
They do not have to win three.
If they win two of the last three, I think it's interesting.
I don't even know if they even have to win two. I think they can win one game of the next three and they can keep their jobs. But here's what they can't do. They can't get run out. They can't play uninspired. They can't get run off the field. Like they can't have the Mike Riley, we're going to beat you 60-0. We're not going to give, you know, we won't stop you once. Won't make you punt once. We can't have the 2007 Okie State Kansas games where, you know, we're giving up all sorts of points and it's not even a contest. The 2000, I guess they didn't get fired after that one, but you know, I just think these blowouts where we're uninspired, that's been a couple of the reasons why we change coaches.
Right.
And like, if he has three games of those to finish out the year,
it's over. I think it's over.
That will be,
if they lose, I think, honestly, in some ways, regardless of how it looks, if they don't win another game, it's over. That's my thought. I hate to say that.
If they do exactly what they've done and they play every team tough, like I think the like we play tough and we're almost there. Even that, as crazy as that sounds, he's got a shot to keep
his
job.
Because
they're good teams we're playing. They're good teams.
If the three losses are, let's say they're similar to how the Michigan game unfolded.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a scenario.
It's small.
But I really think like right now, there's been the little anecdote that Trev and Scott Frost meet every Sunday and talk.
Yeah.
So literally we're recording this on a Sunday. They might be talking right now. If we could listen in, I think there's to a certain extent, Trev probably is saying something like, give me something. I do not want to fire you. I do not want to go out there and try to make a hire when, oh, by the way, LSU is open, USC is open. Like there's some big jobs open, all that stuff. I do not want to have to do that. But dude, you got to give me something.
Yeah.
The question is, what is that something?
And a game.
I,
if you beat Wisconsin at Wisconsin, or if you beat Iowa, I think you keep your job. I just don't see a scenario that we really probably beat Ohio State.
I don't either.
They're just too talented. I mean, I watched them last. They're just talented, dude. They're right. Talented.
And so, because that's what you, I really think you read Trev's quotes, whether it's in the Andrea Adelson column and a story on ESPN where like, Trev sounds like a guy. He says, I'm proud of Frost. You know, I don't really care about what happened the first three years. I'm evaluating now. I like what I'm seeing. Like, it sounds like a guy that has zero interest in firing a coach. You know, like Bill Moose got here. He was hired. He walked in at the press conference. He was holding, like, quick question, which one's Mike Riley? I mean,
yeah.
I want to go talk to him quickly. Say, Cyan Norton. Oh, hello. And then same thing with Sean Eichhorst. Sean Eichhorst came in there and, like, you know, he came in with a revolver and where's Pelini? And Pelini was like, I'm right here, dude. Like,
the Big 12. Yeah.
But it's not like that. He's not like Eichhorst. He's not like Bill Moose where it's like he's hot. Like, they're coming in to chop heads. Trev doesn't want to do it. But, Bo, yeah, if they lose out and they're 3-9 and it's four straight losing seasons, it's almost, I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's almost impossible to envision a scenario where Scott Frost comes back.
It's amazing that, like, and I think me and you did actually a good job on this podcast if we emphasized Illinois, Minnesota, and Purdue big time. We're like, we somehow, like, we had an instinct that, like, all you got to do is do well in those games, and you can be bad in the other ones, and it doesn't matter as much, and you'll keep your job and keep building. But, like, this is the nightmare of this season, is they chose to play their worst. It's like, it's almost like if
it is crazy.
Lay an egg against Oklahoma, lay an egg against Michigan, and beat these teams.
Right.
We played great against those teams and lost. And we used up all our juice. And all you got to do is bring your juice these three games, and we're 6 wins, go to a bowl game, and on to next season. Build on it. But this team had they have a bad sense of the moment. And they didn't get that these three games, you got to beat the bottom feeders of the Big Ten West, or you are the bottom feeder.
That's right. That's right. And it's just scary that, you know, we talked about, it seems like every route, it feels like a scary option right now. It's like, even bringing Frost back, like, say they go 3-9, you bring him back, it's like, good luck recruiting. You know, but then I think about Trev Alberts truthfully hitting like the hiring market, and you go, oh my God,
who are we going to hire? Here's the other thing I thought about. It's like, this is a different era. Like, if they fire Frost, like, do people leave? Do our players leave?
Right. Cause now the one-time transfer thing where you can just go be eligible right away. I don't know. And then I wonder psychologically what this does to the fan base, you know, like, you know, everyone said, like, hey, Frost has to work or else. To me, it's more almost like if Frost doesn't work, the next guy has to work. And I know we keep doing that, but, like, if this, whoever, say they part ways with Frost, if the next guy comes in and doesn't work, it feels like it is like.
But I guess for me, it's like, I don't know. I think Nebraska in the end, like, you know, we'll go down. I think we'll just, to the end of time, keep trying. At least I will. But, like, I just don't know who you go get. Like,
there's not an obvious.
If Urban Meyer says, you know what?
Well, obviously,
I'm done with pro after my bad start in Jacksonville. Right. It's like
too many.
You can't expect
too much grinding at bars in Ohio. Yeah. I'm going to go coach in Lincoln.
You know what they do at the rail, coach? Good thing. Hey, coach.
Coach,
I got a place.
Why don't you go to the rail?
Do some recruiting.
Do some recruiting for us here. But no. Yeah, I don't. That's the thing is, I'm not sure. It just feels like you're in this. You're in this spot where every option, everywhere you turn, you don't feel good about.
The only good option is win a game or two and get excited.
That's why, yes, that was as close to a must win as you'll ever see. You, Scott Frost, they had to win that game.
Illinois is a must win. Minnesota was a must win. And Purdue was a must win. And we didn't win any of them.
Right. And
because I didn't feel like Minnesota, I mean, Oklahoma was not a must win.
They were Michigan like 23 State point dogs.
A, they I were know, not, it was not a must win. Michigan was not a must win. It didn't feel like that. And we played our best football and can't get the W's.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing that three worst performances of the season came against the Illinois, Minnesota, and Purdue.
I don't think that's a coincidence. I think our team gets, they play their best against the best competition. They play their worst. I think they don't, they just have, it's a psychological, something about it. They, I think they let it down.
Ratchet it down.
And just I know. Let it down a
because
bit.
Because I can't decide. Frost, you know, he made the comment after the, in the press conference of like, a, you know, I basically insinuated a way that I'm, I shouldn't have to motivate these guys every game. Like and sometimes I think we try to follow these breadcrumbs too much to come to some grandioso explanation. But whether it's the no juice at Minnesota, comments like that, you wonder about like just the makeup of the team. And I don't know, because we're talking about getting up for certain games and not. But
it's just weird to me. Their three best games were the three best teams. I mean, by a long they were so shot. Much better against those three teams than any of the other ones.
Well, think about. And granted, I do believe this defense has the defense taken a step back a little bit the last couple of games, maybe a little bit, but at the same time, they're getting zero help from their offense and they were good enough to win at Minnesota and to win against Purdue. But Kenneth Walker might win the Heisman Trophy for Michigan State. Nebraska destroyed him.
Yeah.
Destroyed him.
Yeah.
And you're talking about a team that at least that could go win three games and there could be a coaching change. It's just there's so many things that don't add up with this stuff. But the thing that is still maddening to me is if things continue to go down the path that they're potentially going on and Frost ends up getting let go, it is going to be the offense that doomed him. And I would have never in a million years. Obviously, there's no guarantee when a coach gets hired that it's going to work. But of all the things that would have held Frost back from succeeding, never in a million years would I have thought it would have been the offense. But that's what it is. I mean, the offense was terrible in the second half yesterday. The offense had every opportunity in the world against Minnesota and couldn't score. It just, I don't get it. I don't understand it.
The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go into Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors by Pella won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella Windows and Doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com.
It's a big, it's just one, I don't know. It's just hard. It's hard to even like, it's so hard to wrap your mind around 4 years of this. It's just not as the Riley era was so much more obvious to me.
Well,
what I mean? Like it was just obvious. It's like, yeah, we just,
well, Bo, I think the thing obvious is a good way to put it. I think with everything that has failed post Solich, there was an easy way to explain it, and it looked kind of, other than maybe Pelini, the results on the field were pretty obvious as to what, you know, like Callahan, you go, well, listen, he's never been a college head coach, West Coast offense, kind of a weird fit. And then at the end of it, things were not going well. Pelini, you could kind of, towards the end of it, it's like, hey, getting blown out in big games, they've plateaued, personality's a little combustible. He had never been a head coach before. All things, at least in your head, you could kind of explain. Mike Riley, you know, 60-year-old career 500 coach, they're getting their doors blown off. Makes sense. This one is a tough one because I just don't think it's easy to wrap your mind around and it's easy to understand and explain. It's not obvious.
Yeah. The things that Riley didn't do well, Frost came in and did do well. Like I really think Frost, like the work ethic, the culture stuff, like he did so much better than Riley.
They're physical.
They're more physical. Yeah, like all the things that were like, we weren't seeing
right.
with the Riley defenses. We started seeing, but like we're doing something wrong about winning games.
Yeah. Cause it's,
and that's all it comes down to. And in the end, like people are going to want to win and they're not going to accept this for much longer. That's the truth.
Cause that's the thing is ultimately like the fans will kind of tell the story. And by all accounts for people in the stadium and even the shots of the stadium on TV, when Purdue scored to go up 28-17 with 10 minutes left, there was a little bit of a mass exodus. Mm-hmm. There were not a lot of people in the stands. When Martinez threw the interception, there were boo birds. Like their patience is about gone.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. I don't, when it gets to be like that, it's hard to dig yourself out of that.
Well, and I think the paper, maybe it was Sam McEwen before the Purdue game, he's like, hey, this is a 4-game season. And the part that's kind of tricky is like, it is, but I think everybody in their head had already written in one of the wins in that 4-game season was going to be Purdue. So right. Now they're like, people almost don't even want to see it played out. But like, you know, I'm a believer in like, play it out. If you can beat Wisconsin and Iowa, you're going to next year feeling, I honestly think you'll feel decent. You won't feel bad if you beat Wisconsin, Iowa to finish the year.
Yeah. You know, that's it's so interesting to say right now.
3 weeks in a row. Like,
well, because that's because again, the reason why your point's an interesting one is because think about not saying this was consensus, but I think most people 3 weeks ago coming out of that Michigan game, people really felt decent about things.
I'd say more, Nick. Better than decent. I think people were borderline excited.
They were seeing the progress. There were all those things. And then just think about how you feel now. How wild of a swing.
It's 2 weeks.
To your point, who's to say there couldn't be another big swing by the time Black Friday gets here?
There could be. Now, this is the tricky part, though, okay? This is where, if this was year one and the season was the same, they could easily go on a swing. The fact that it's year four and the external pressure, it becomes more real.
Yes.
Like, I don't think there's any reason they can't go win 3 or 2 of these next games, right? Like, they could. If they don't buy into our coach is gone.
See, and that's the thing.
And that's real, though.
Because like, did you feel that? No 7. I've talked about this a million times.
Everyone knew it was done.
And I really believe that the final handful of games of Mike Riley, I think that entire team had quit.
Our team was borderline. The coaches, though, when you see coaches that know they're gone, that's the worst.
Right.
And so in 07, we saw our coaches just like, they were just like they were hanging their heads. They knew they were done.
Right.
They were thinking about, where's my next job? And I don't blame them. That's their reality. They got lives, they got kids, and they got families. Now, I don't think our coaches are there right now. They're not trying to find their next job. I think they're going to try to coach their way through this and survive. Like, I really believe that. But if our players don't ignore the noise outside, it's hard to play. It's hard just to do the regular thing anyway. But right. When you got like, oh man, when you start thinking about anything, because then you know what you don't do? You don't study quite as much. You don't, right. You know, the coaches, they might not game plan quite as much. So like the most important thing is that the coaches think they're going to be here next year. That the players think they're going to win. And they act and they operate. Because if they start buying into the narratives that people, because everybody.
Because that's how it's going to be. Like, it's over.
I think he's gone. I think, okay, like. Whatever, you still got 3 games left, and it makes a difference if you can win a couple of them. So people say will matter if you beat Iowa and Wisconsin, or if you beat Ohio State.
Well, that's the thing.
You could.
The thing that's so unfortunate about this is it's not just it's not just who's on your schedule, but it's when you play them and what's going on both in your season at that given time and what's going on in their season at that given time.
Yeah.
Ohio State, the timing of these of the next two opponents are brutal because Ohio State feels like they're starting to kind of get it rolling, and they're the most talented team by a mile on in the Big Ten. And then Wisconsin all of a sudden feels like they're starting to get it rolling. And so it's just you're staring down the barrel of two opponents that could kind of kick your ass.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, the fact that Wisconsin's playing better, that's tough. Going up there. We've been up there. It's not an easy place to play.
So, yeah, it's.
But this is also a team that, like, they always do what you don't want them to do. So, like, I mean, not what they don't want
them,
what
you don't expect them to do.
Yeah, so, like, this is right when they would probably beat an Ohio State when you're like, really? Like, what?
How confused would everybody be if they went and beat Ohio State?
Confused but happy. They would.
I think they'd be happy, but it just would be – because everybody – I think a lot of people think this thing is over.
If you beat Ohio State, it's not over. But and it would be like, how do you explain that? You can't. You can't explain how they'd beat Ohio State next week. There's no logical explanation for it.
It's maddening, man. I mean, it's, I don't even know to think about even just that game. Cam Taylor-Britt should have recovered the onside kick. I pointed out to you before we turn on the mics, all three of their touchdowns came on third and goal. Like Nebraska had stood up and potentially were going to force three field goals that field goal kicker didn't have a great day. Who knows? It's just like they can't make the couple of plays to get over the hump.
Especially in offense. I think especially in offense.
We
just don't have that. Like, I mean, defense, like we've got the fourth down stop. We've done that a few times this year.
The defense has been,
but man, our offense, like we don't have that thing to like, go get it. Like, got to make it now's
right.
Like winning time, baby, go get it. Like we don't got it.
So, okay. You think you go win to wrap it up in terms of like, cause I mean the big topics, the hot seat stuff and what is going to happen and what Frost needs to do to potentially save his job. You think it's, you go win
a game.
If
minimum.
You win what you, zero games, yikes. One game, there's a chance. Two, you think he's back?
Two, I know he's back. One, I think he's back. If he doesn't win and plays well, it's no country for old men. Flip a coin.
That's probably true. But that's it. You make such a good point on that locker room and the coaching staff and the players, they need to build a freaking cocoon.
They better turn off their phones.
Like,
don't read the paper. Don't talk to anybody. Just go into football mode, study, film, prepare, play your butt off. Because if you listen to people, you will lose.
That's got to be hard.
Yeah. I mean, I literally have been through that scenario and I watched some guys on the team. They're done. Some coaches, they're done.
Because football's hard. You said it. Football is one of those sports. It's hard enough as it is. And football is the one sport that if there's any sort, sometimes it's just like, are you willing to let yourself off the hook? Are you willing to grasp at any excuse to let yourself off the hook to not show up?
Because it's hard. It's a hard sport to prepare for, and it's a really hard sport to play because it is. You got to lay it all on the line to be good at it.
And they're going to have every reason in the world to just throw in the towel. They're not winning. They keep on getting these gut punch close losses. Now their coaching staff's under siege. This locker room, that team has every reason in the world being presented to them to just throw in the towel. Yeah, the question is, will they?
They almost have to be defiant, right? Like, that's almost the attitude they got to take on, is be like, screw everybody.
Right.
Like, we're doing this for us. Like, if they can take on that attitude, that's what they probably need anyway.
Right.
But that's hard to do, man. It's hard to do.
You know how the coaches bring in speakers? Like they, right. they should bring in like people from the 07 or like, honestly, it'd be interesting to be like, I was there. Like, I know you can't do that because it's acknowledging the narrative, but it's like, you know, I mean, you, it's, I guarantee all those guys that said I'm done regret it.
Yeah.
But it's hard to, what's weird is I think they're still playing. Other than the Minnesota first half, I still think this team is showing up.
I mean, Nick, remember that these are all one score games.
Right. So I guess the reason I bring that up is I don't have any reason to believe that they're not going to show up. But here's the problem is they could show up against Ohio State and still get that
Ohio State to keep within a score of Ohio State is tough. I mean,
so
I don't know, Nick. I mean,
especially the crowd. What's the crowd going to be like? It's an 11 a.m. game. There, people are already like, on everything.
It's going to be interesting, man. But I mean, we'll see.
Oh my God. Okay.
Check, please.
Check, please. Will anybody order the blame?
Please.
Check, please. Will anybody order the blame? Anyone? Okay. All right. There we go.
A Huda Media production.